on the telephone with me. I have a gentleman from Colorado, Kyle. And is that your state of origin?
Yes, it is, yes.
And I came across a piece of yours. This was on YouTube. It was a film documenting your use of cannabis and using it as a cancer cure for your uncle. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, sure. The film is called Vitamin Cannabis, and it's available on YouTube or at vitamincannabis.com. And it's the story of the last year and a half of our lives, I guess, in a fictional setting due to some legal implications of the nature of what it is that we do when you actually take cannabis and use it ingested. We're not talking about smoking it here. Mm-hmm. We're talking about ingesting it and interacting with the cannabinoids in your body and ultimately potentially curing cancer as it did with the elimination of my uncle's cancer using ingested cannabis. And it's part of, we have some good and fortunate timing in all of this because Christian Lorette's film, Run From the Cure, documenting Rick Simpson's fantastic results, and he's the one that first started all this by announcing that you can make this medicine yourself and showing people how to do it online. And when we first heard that Rick Simpson had, you know, cured cancer with cannabis, you know, we were like, well, yeah, right, there's no way. You know, like, that sounds great, but then you watch the movie and you see that here's a very serious individual that has showed you exactly how to do this and has done his best to document and explain how it works, but it's certainly worth looking into further. So we were able to look into it a little bit further and actually get a hold of some of the medication to get into my uncle, and the results were that his oncologist was blown away because the cancer was eliminated in the course of his treatment, and they can't find it now, and he completed what we would call a 60-gram reset, which is necessary to actually cure yourself. It takes 60 grams of the oil, which is about a pound and a half of marijuana or cannabis, high-grade stuff, the highest grade you can get, and then you have to refine it down using Everclear or another alcohol-cutting agent.
Okay, because I saw on Rick's program he had mentioned that he's using Napsa, but you're using Everclear.
Yes, we use Everclear exclusively. It's widely available. There are batches that I would call moonshine batches, where they're made with methyl alcohol, or from what we hear, you can even use cranberry vodka if you'd like. We don't know if that'll change the molecular structure of it necessarily, but we just don't recommend using isopropyl alcohol or any of the alcohols that are the low, low grades, because if you leave too much of that in there, just like must have been, excuse me, moonshine must have been back in the 30s or whatever.
Sorry that we lost you. If you could just pick up where you left off. I think you were telling us about using Everclear.
Right, right. And you can get it at any, you know, liquor store. It's widely available. In Colorado, we've seen some teams make moonshine batches out of isopropyl alcohol, ethyl alcohol, methyl alcohol, and then there's some teams that use butane to make oil, and they've actually blown up their garages, and we wish them the best in their medical treatment. So there is risks involved in using this and doing this. So nothing you do can circumvent that, but if you don't have an additional 8-hour burn-off process to really make sure that all the alcohol is totally burned off when you're doing a moonshine batch, then you run the risk of leaving too much non-consumable alcohol in the oil, and that can be a bad thing when you ingest it. So,
so
I would definitely...
You want to use a food-grade alcohol.
Food-grade alcohol, definitely, yes. And I've seen the stuff that you mentioned that Rick Simpson uses, And I believe I read the label, and it was extremely, extremely flammable was the reason we did not go with that. But I'll have to double-check that. But the higher quality it is, the more flammable it is, and you have to take necessary precautions. And really, Run From the Cure, Christian Mauret's film, is a fantastic resource for everybody. And I got an email from him saying he had had 1.7 million views of that film, and that's just amazing. And like I said in my film, I think Rick Simpson will eventually win the Nobel Prize for releasing his method of making the cure, and that's still the main resource we turn to whenever we need ideas or input on it. But yes, I guess that answers your just one question about the Everclear.
Sure. So what kind of proof is there that this kind of therapy helps people?
Okay. Len Richmond has a movie called What If Cannabis Cured Cancer, and he sells it on his website, and it's available at Amazon.com, and I'm not associated with him in any way. I just know that it has all the scientific evidence about why this works. And I guess to put it in layman's terms, I'm not a doctor or a research scientist, but there's a system inside your body, the endocannabinoid system, and without cannabis, that system goes into a state of disrepair, if you will, which is evidenced in the form of cancer or these other diseases that we're now seeing epidemics of in this country, including diabetes, thyroid, all sorts of different diseases, Alzheimer's, that the endocannabinoid system regulates. So when you put cannabis inside the body, it goes to the cannabinoid receptors that are naturally in your body, and it tells them to either open or close based on what they are and what they need. So in the instance of cancer, it actually cuts off the food source for the cancer, and the cancer has nothing to eat, so it shrivels up and dies, and that's how the cannabis affects it in cancer. But it does it differently in each instance of disease, and there's a new word I got to learn as a result of doing all this called, is an old word, panacea, which is a cure-all. And it seems to me that this cannabis plant, with its 4,000 different strains and varieties, affect the 114 different cannabinoid receptors we have in our body. And scientifically, there is evidence in that movie about how it works, but it seems to just be a natural regulator of your endocannabinoid system. And Dr. Bob points out, Dr. Bob Melamine in Colorado Springs, he points out that cannabinoids, which is the same ingredient, when you smoke pot, you're smoking cannabinoids. When you eat a marijuana edible, you're eating cannabinoids. CBD, CBN, THC is just one of the 114 cannabinoids. He said that in mother's breast milk, from the very time you're born, your body naturally puts cannabinoids, whether you're a smoker or not, you know, whether you're a Republican, Democrat, whatever, and your breast milk that you got as a baby or that you're giving to your baby, there are natural cannabinoids. So it's just a naturally regulating thing, and the next 5 years is going to be amazing as the science really starts to back this up, and we're starting to see that.
Now, what about people who smoke a lot of cannabis but then end up getting cancer anyhow? What's the difference there?
Okay, you have to have a CBD, which is cannabinidiol and cannabidiol, I believe are butchered pronunciations of those two words. But those are part of the 114 different cannabinoids that are in pot. When you smoke it, you're adding different temperature via the flame or the vaporization or how you're changing the actual structure of the pot. So you're losing the cancer-curing properties when you smoke it. If you're trying to cure something, you really have to eat it. And there may come a time 20 years from now when we joke about how much we used to find it cool that we all smoked pot because everyone's just eating it.
Huh. Well, that's an interesting concept. Now, how many people have, do you have any idea of how many people have been treated in this manner?
Well, with ours, it's about, I'm going to say 250 as of now. It's, you know, we have various things going, but I hear a lot about other testing that goes on in the state. And there's 40 different teams here in Colorado that do the Phoenix Tears medication in some form. So,
oh, incredible. So when you say 250, you mean just in Colorado or just with the people that...
Just us and our team that we're focusing on for the movie. So you'll get to hear, as we get to part 4 through 10 of the movie, you'll get to hear the results of the other people that, were here that we know of. But then there's other groups out there on their own. I mean, we've heard out of North Ireland, Australia, Michigan, California, New York. We've heard out of all other places that teams do exist in other states as well. And we hope that they're going to post their video evidence and their documentation as they start to do this as well.
Now, how long has your video been up on YouTube?
Well, part one came out about 3 months ago, and part three, which is Patent the Sun, that talks about the patent and our discovery of what the ramifications were for what we might be doing legally. That one came out, I think, Thanksgiving Day, and then hopefully we'll get part four up here right around Christmas time.
Now, you talk about the patent. Explain to the listening audience what patent this is.
Well, the patent is, I believe it's 6630507, if I have that correct, but it's in the movie Part 3, and it's actually a patent from the United States federal government on cannabinoids, using them to cure all sorts of stuff. And what the fascinating thing about this is that we've now seen at least 30 other patents on cannabis go up since that one has really started becoming public. So it would seem that the corporations out there are attempting to patent certain aspects in order to make medicine at a future point in time. And I think everyone just wants to see that future point in time be sooner rather than later, especially given the ramifications of this.
And when do you think it was that the patent information became... The patent happened in 2003, but when did it become public, more publicity to it, that people became aware of the patent?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I'm not sure. I think I first heard about it from Ken Gorman in 2006 and then was reminded of it that I could look it up on the Internet again in 2010, and then I noticed it was in the newest edition of Emperor Wears No Clothes, the Jack Herrera book as well. So I think it's really starting to be just since the Internet age has really gotten where everyone's on the Internet, and you can just go and look up and see, you know what, these crazy conspiracy theories, guys, well, go look up the patent. It's real, and there must be a reason for it to be real, and I think we know the reason why it's real, and it's just a matter of time before we can do this everywhere and people can start fixing themselves, and it isn't as insane as it sometimes seems right now.
Uh-huh. Now, is there anyone that you guys have treated that it didn't work for, or any certain types of cancer that it doesn't seem to work for?
No, actually. There's two cases out of the 250 right now. One was an epilepsy patient, and she was on just a 0.02 dose, which is a T1 pill, because we put the oil into pills so that we can properly dose it, so that you know what you're getting every time.
And 0.02 is 0.02 grams?
Yes, 0.02 grams, right. So it's literally half the size of a grain of rice, or about the size of a grain of rice, depending on which kind of rice you're using.
And let me just remind the listening audience, the way that this is made is basically you're taking cannabis, soaking it in alcohol, straining it, and then evaporating away the alcohol. Is that correct?
Right, right. And you never want to heat it to above 220 degrees. And we actually use an infrared temperature gun that has a little laser pointer on it, and sit there and make sure it never gets above 220, because it starts to change the properties of the cannabinoids inside the oil at that point. So,
I'm sorry. So you're saying about the epileptic patient?
She almost went into a seizure and did not want to have it, but she had that cannabis has done that to her over her extended time, no matter what. So it wasn't a
something to be concerned about. But while we're talking about it, I should say that there are instances where people who are prone to psychotic episodes or epilepsy or other things do have negative reactions to high THC amounts.
So those are some of the side effects of this treatment?
The side effects, if you're normal and everything's fine, you're just going to go to sleep and you're going to be able to use the restroom, and then you're all good. But if you have a negative effect, and we've only had one with the epilepsy patient, then you might possibly hallucinate or have bipolar or episodes, if you will.
Now, you said that you'll be able to sleep and get up and go to the bathroom. So is it something that's really sedative?
Yeah, actually, there. When you first start taking 1 to 2 grams of the oil per day, you're just going to go to sleep, and you're probably going to have some of the best restrooms you've ever had in your life. Sorry to not be PC, but that's the truth, is that your restroom will become regular. And what that's doing is we believe that the cannabis is flushing out all the free radicals and the bad cells inside your body and getting them out of you. And it's a deep restorative sleep. It's almost coma-like, but they do wake up every few hours, or maybe after 13 hours they'll wake up and be up for 5 hours. So it's definitely not something that people can work through for 18 days while they're doing this.
So this is, if you're going to be on this treatment, you got to be withdraw from your daily schedule.
Indeed, yeah. Now, that's a Super C emergency treatment. That's where you're trying to do the reset as fast as you possibly can and get the 60 grams inside of you. So that's stage 4 terminal people who have 3 months to live is usually when we do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at 30 grams you start to see that you're running out of the woods instead of running into the woods, and you start to get the benefits. And in my uncle's case, it was, borderline stage 1, stage 2 cancer, so we were able to reduce it down to stage 1 and then eliminate it completely. You don't have to knock yourself out, but most people are going to experience severe grogginess, being tired. And Christian Loret, I just recently saw that he made a post, and there are ways to use different strains to counteract the grogginess, but I don't think anyone could do a 60-gram reset without getting some serious sleep for a couple weeks.
Yeah. So you also mentioned there's one other person that it didn't work for.
Actually, it wasn't ingested. The person got so scared of the fact that we had this oil that had been rumored to be, so potent and be so, all the run from the cure and the phoenix tears and everything. It kind of builds a little bit of hype to it. And this person got so scared of it that they didn't even want to have anything to do with us personally, and we were basically told to get out of this particular wellness center we were at.
Okay.
So that was the second negative reaction. We've only had one actual physical negative reaction to it, and everything else has been extremely positive, which, like I said, we really didn't believe Rick Simpson, and now I think he's going to win a Nobel Prize for it, because basic people, ordinary people, I deliver pizzas, I'm just an ordinary guy, and we're able to do this. Well, that means that everyone everywhere can do this, and once that starts happening, it's going to be amazing. And one thing struck me, Rick Simpson said, he said, modern-day miracles will begin to occur every day. And I just, when we first started this, couldn't get over that. But now, having seen some of the things that we've been able to do as ordinary American citizens, it's just amazing, and I can't wait to see this all happen over the next 5 years.
Now, what type of cancer did your uncle have?
He had what is called a carcinoid tumor, which it develops almost like spider-like tentacles inside you and then spreads out rapidly wherever it can find food. So they weren't able to target a particular tumor because it never got big enough to be lasered out, which is the best way to get a tumor out of you.
When you say they, you mean the medical established?
Right. He had a team of three doctors that, you know, an oncologist, another doctor, and then a specialist, a cancer specialist in another specific form. And they had basically told him there's nothing else we can do except for we're going to wait for the tumor to get big enough so that we can find it, find the main source of it, and kill the main source, and then hope that the spider-like tentacles just die off on their own accord without their main tumor supporting them. But
did he ever get any conventional medical treatments for it, any kind of chemotherapy, radiation?
They could, again, it was due to the targeting of it. They could not do just, they didn't want to target his whole body, because skin cancer was starting to appear on his skin all over. It would be on his face, his arms, his legs. So, you know, he didn't want to radiate his whole body, so he chose to not go with conventional treatment.
And what stage was the cancer, what stage cancer was he diagnosed with?
Well, he had a stage 1, which is 70, is T cell count, the white blood cell count. And again, I'm not a doctor. I don't understand all this completely, but it was up in the 70s or 80s. And we hear that stage 4 is the 3 to 400 range, and you don't get beyond that point. So the sooner you can catch it and administer treatment, obviously the better. But even at a late stage, it seems to still be effective as long as there's enough time.
What are the psychotropic, how do people deal with psychotropic properties, especially those who are not familiar with them, who want to use this as a cure?
Wow. Well, that's a good one. First, I would say they should know what smoking pot does for them. If you smoke a pot and a particular strain of marijuana and it makes you racy and energetic, and then you may make that strain into oil, odds are you're not going to get as groggy as you were. So if someone is totally new to cannabis use whatsoever, though, it's best that they have someone like a trip sitter that sits with them and goes through this treatment with them and makes sure they're okay. However, we have seen people go out to the woods and do it and come back and they're fine. So it really varies on people's individual use and experience with cannabis overall.
Mm-hmm. And how aware of this therapy are the people who live in the states where this is legal? You said that there's 40 groups in Colorado that you're aware of doing this?
Right.
How
right.
about other states?
We hear California has a huge Phoenix Tears movement happening out there because, like us, it's available in shops. You can actually have a retail market for this. Now, Colorado is desperately at this point trying to regulate that, and I see good and bad in that. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I think we're going to end up in a good place because of all of it. We've heard lots of stuff internationally. There seem to be a lot of international teams. We've heard from Montana and the states I mentioned earlier as well. But in Colorado here, it's some people have heard of it, and there's a lot of doubt, and there's a lot of that can't be true. My most effective tool has been showing people What If Cannabis Cured Cancer, Len Richman's movie. That's been extremely helpful because there are scientists and doctors out there who know what this does and why this does it. And they're slowly starting to come out more and more each day. But
and do you know if that film is available for free on YouTube?
I know it is not, actually.
Okay.
We will actually be releasing a small part of it inside Vitamin Cannabis. We contacted him, and he's a real cool guy, and his next movie is actually going to be about the psychotropic and the mental effects of cannabis and what it's going to do as far as revolutionizing that kind of treatment as well.
And what about making it out of leaf? Is there any benefit in using leaf, or do you have to use the bud?
No, you have to use the leaf and the bud. The best way is to make whole plant oil, because as we talked about those 114 different cannabinoids, there's different cannabinoids in the stem than there are in the water leaves, than there are in the buds, than there are in the calyxes, than there are in the trichomes, and they're everywhere.
Uh-huh.
So you have to strip all of those away. I think that the whole plant method is definitely the way to go. And then in California, Colorado, and Canada, you can have your oil tested at a facility, and they'll tell you exactly what's in it. So I would encourage people in those states, if they can, to have their oil tested.
And how long is the film, What If Cannabis Cured Cancer?
How long is that movie?
Yes.
That's about 48 minutes long. So.
Oh, wow.
It's about the attention span of a stoner, I'd say. But it's actually more effective for people that don't smoke. Like, it's been a battle for me personally just to convince my family that this has been real, even though we were able to accomplish it inside my own family. So I certainly understand that people are hesitant to accept this information, but the sooner that they do, the better that everyone is going to be. And I believe it's going to create a whole new industry out of this as well and give people a bunch of jobs, which I think we all need right now.
Mm-hmm. And with part three of the film, there are you speak with these in the film. You speak with different lawyers, and could you speak to what they had mentioned, and what do you think the legitimacy of that information is?
Well, what they said is that it's an automatic 5 to 4 year prison sentence for claiming to cure cancer without going through the 100,000-page application to the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, and you have to, from what I understand, actually print the application yourself. So that alone is a $10,000 print job, so it pretty much knocks any small-timer out of being able to attempt to do things. But it also protects people in the sense that people can't try and scam you the way that they did in the early 1800s with miracle cure-alls that were nothing but sesame oil and a little bit of moonshine. So,
right.
I think it'll be all solved in the end here through regulation and stuff. But that's the current status of what it is. I'm sorry. Getting back to your original question there.
Sure.
Tangent it off.
And the patent that you had mentioned, it seems to be the patent is for novel uses of cannabinoids and not a patent on the plant itself. Could you speak to that, or do you not know the...
No, I can speak to my knowledge of it, and that is that what they are doing is attempting to synthesize plants so that they can hold the copyright on a particular medication that works for Alzheimer's or a particular medication that works for colon cancer versus something that works for glioma or brain cancer. So it seems that the patents are going in that direction for when they are able to synthesize a plant. But there's a great movie called Food, Inc. I don't know if you've seen the documentary about the food system.
I am familiar with it, yes.
Okay, and I think a lot of what they're trying to do is related to what they're doing with corn and soybeans and other things, which is just trying to control a market through copywriting a seed or copywriting or patenting a particular cannabinoid for this use and saying no one else in the world can do it except for us. And I think morally in the long run that's extremely wrong, but also I don't think that the people will stand for that in the long run unless these companies suddenly will step up to the plate and say we can cure this, we can do it right now, let's do it. Because if they keep waiting and waiting and waiting and trying to make a bunch of money from this, the people are just going to do it themselves, thanks to Rick Simpson and Christian Lorette.
That's amazing. Let me just mention, if you're in the listening audience and you're out there and you'd like to call in and you have a question, telephone number here is 859-4200. That's 859-4200. Now, is there a difference between using an indica strain or sativa strain as far as the efficacy of curing or treating?
It won't affect the length of the treatment. It will affect the energy level that you have on the oil. So if you make it out of a pure sativa, you might not get as groggy. You might not experience that as much. But like I said, it's a deep restorative sleep. It's an absolutely necessary process to a full cancer cure. But if you're just going for treatment, and Rick Simpson says you need to ingest about 7 grams a year. Well, that's not very much. So in theory, and that's why the movie is named Vitamin Cannabis, is we're all going to be taking some form of cannabinoids, whether they're synthetic or real, and I hope and I pray that they're real, in some form on a daily basis. And then Dr. Bob says that ultimately that might lead to 120, 130, 140-year lifespan. And that sounds okay to me if it's a nice world we're living in and we can go explore space.
How about any of the studies? Are there any of the studies about this that you'd like to mention to the audience?
There's two big researchers that we look into, and that's Dr. Bob Melamede in Colorado Springs. He actually, she's 8 years ago when I was just becoming a marijuana activist, and I had just turned 21 and gone to a bar and realized that I liked alcohol, but I also really liked pot and wanted to smoke it, like, daily. So I became a pot activist then, and I was lucky enough to meet Dr. Bob, and he showed me pictures of a brain tumor in a mouse that had been injected with THC, and it had reduced the tumor to the point that the mouse was walking around again. And he had these X-ray photos of this that I believe were done in Israel. And there's a doctor there whose name I should know, but I probably couldn't pronounce even if I did. But then there's another guy, Dr. Manuel Guzman in Spain, who we have looked into as well, because he does work on stuff like this. So, but that was a long time ago that I saw those things from Dr. Bob. And then when we first heard about the Phoenix Tears stuff and started this little project, I recontacted Dr. Bob again, and we've been in touch since then, so he definitely is an asset that I'd like to say thank you to, and also he's one of the top researchers on cannabis in the world, so we have him right here in the United States, and we got to utilize this over the next 3 to 5 as this happens.
Great. Is there any websites that you'd like to direct the listeners to, or books, or any kind of information like that?
Definitely. The first one is phoenixtears.ca, which is Rick Simpson's actual website. I believe he is still in hiding because the Canadian government raided his home as a result of him releasing this, what I believe will be Nobel Prize-winning information.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of resources there and a lot of what to do's and what not to do's, and that's where you should start, is phoenixtears.ca. And the second would be Christian Lorette's movie, Run from the Cure, and I believe it's runfromthecure.com. I'm hoping that's right, but if you just type in on Google Run from the Cure, you will find it for sure, and he's made that movie available for free. And that's if the text becomes too much, then watch the movie and see what happens. The third would be our website, vitamincannabis.com, which will link you directly to our YouTube account. Please subscribe. And the fourth would be eventually watching What If Cannabis Cured Cancer, because the science is there. It's just not widely available yet.
Now, for people who live in states where this is legal, how much does it cost for the hash oil to use it as the cancer treatment?
Wow, that is a fantastic question, and it's both a moral question, a government question, and a regulatory question. I have seen it offered for as much as $15,000 here in this state, and
wow.
I find that to be ridiculous and insane. But they're making it on a basis of, well, it costs you $100,000 to do a chemotherapy treatment or a laser, surgery, so why not $15,000? And I do not agree with that. And there's another team that, is 12 and then 10, and now over the last little while I've seen it go down to right around $7,500 for a treatment in the state of Colorado, at least. I'm not sure about other places. But that being said, if you have no other resource, if you cannot possibly make this yourself, because believe me, watch the movie, you should be making this yourself if you can. If you're going to purchase or have somebody else make it, if you're near a testing facility, have it tested. Make sure there's CBD, CBN inside of the medication. Otherwise, it might not work the way that Phoenix Tears works.
Mm-hmm. And if people want to make this themselves, what is the danger of catching things on fire using the Everclear.
Actually, I'm standing here with the guy that was with me during our fire incident when I burned my hand permanently. So there is extreme fire danger to this.
And did you use the cannabis oil to treat your third-degree burn or whatever?
You know, I probably should have done that. I think I was on an aloe vera blend, but
okay.
No, you can make a mistake easily. You're using a flammable substance around, you know, heating sources. There are safe ways to do this, and one of them is described in Run from the Cure, and then there's even more safe methods to do it, but you start running into, you know, it's going to cost you $1,000 to go to the scientific store and buy some Pyrex beakers and those kinds of things.
No, so, and just a... We only have a few minutes left here, but if you had left it, just leave it in an open container, will the alcohol eventually evaporate and you could use that method?
No. Without a heat source, it will take, I think I did the math on it, because I did do that test to see if that was a possibility, and it only evaporated a couple of milliliters in 48 hours, which means it would take you 1,000 days to do it in that way. So a heating source is necessary, but not a stove. Definitely never a stove. And
never anything with an open flame.
Yes, never anything with an open flame.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming on, speaking with us today. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you wanted to speak about?
Wow, you pretty much covered it. I do appreciate you trying to get the information out there. I guess I should definitely say thanks to Rick Simpson and Christian Lorette on the air, because they have been absolutely amazing through this, and it's going to be exciting as we go through this next 4 to 10 parts of the movie, and I'd encourage everyone to subscribe to me on YouTube if you can. It will help us out.
Okay, I'm just going to mention a website here. It's Hong Pong, like beer pong, .com/node/1081, and I'll put a link to that when I post our interview. But there's a list here of all different studies showing, London study showing that THC causes leukemia cells to die, University of Texas study showing the CBD1 receptor activated by cannabis suppresses colorectal cancer, Southern Florida, there's a cannabis blocking agent, and cannabis blocks cancer-causing viruses. Harvard study showing cannabis cuts lung cancer growth in half. So there's a lot of information about this, and I thank you for your bravery, since you are risking being out there because of the conflict of state and federal laws, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you so much. Do appreciate it, Pete.
Take care.
That was Kyle from Colorado. Thank you for listening. My regular scheduled program is Wednesdays. That is 8 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock in the morning. And we're on break now, but there's more DJs coming up. And catch us some more after the break, whenever that may be. Thank you.